Boy, it is good to be back with all of you this morning. Good to be back out in God's house. If you would, let's turn over to Exodus chapter 14. This is very familiar scripture. Welcome to all of you here this morning. I know it's already been done, but I'd like to welcome everybody as well when I step up here. Welcome all those out in the cars and stuff, you know, and just thank the good Lord that you have the opportunity to be in his house one more week. One more week. We're in Exodus 14. If you would, we're going to read one verse, verse number 9. If you would, just stand there. Stand when you get there, and let's read this in honor of God's word, please. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside a Pharaoh Raharuth, beside a Bel Aziapun, which the places, I'm not going to try to get into what they are, but the point of it is the enemy had them trapped. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your mercy, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, for, you know, Lord, for the opportunity to stand up here behind this desk, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that all these hearts and minds that are out here, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you know, Lord, that you know that their minds would be open, Lord, the hearts would be open, Lord, and we could come to understand, Lord, what you have for us in this message here this morning. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank the Lord this morning. Now, all of us, at times in our lives, have faced red seas. All of us at some times in our lives have faced red seas in our lives. And if you haven't, may I say this morning that you will at some time in your life face them. You're going to be up against the red, because you're going to be between what the proverbial rock and a hard place sometime. All of us have been there at times. And may I say, maybe you are going there, maybe you are there this morning. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you cannot humanly take care of yourself. We have been there. All of us have been there at times. I can't emphasize that enough. And we all know that this, folks, that some Red Seas experience are different from others. We all know that. We've all faced that. What I've went through in my life, maybe you've never experienced. And what you're going through right now, I have maybe never experienced in my life. The Red Seas that I've experienced may not stack up to what you're going through right now. And I'll say that just to be blunt with, open with you. But what I can attest to this morning, and I want you to mark this down, is God has always made a way somehow, some way, somehow. God has. He has always made a way in my Red Sea experiences, and I can sure you can attest to that. It may not be the way that you think. It may not be the way that you were planned out, but God has always lived up to his end of the bargain. But no matter whether they're small or big, no matter what way, there are some rules that I believe apply to everybody's Red Sea experience. There are some rules, and I want to give you just three that I've just, in my mind, have just thought about as I've been preparing for this message. And the first rule that I want you to understand, and this is important, and this is for a Christian. Number one is that when you're at the Red Sea, realize God meant for you to be there. We serve an all-powerful God. He knows this. He meant for you to be where you're at. And you're looking, you know, you're thinking, now listen. Now I want you to think about what I just read there about the children of Israel when they come out of Egypt. You realize if you would look at a map and understand, God could have sent them north, could have sent them out by the Mediterranean Sea, could have sent them that way. What would we say? 14 days they could have been to the promised land? 14 days? But what did God do? God took them south. He took them south through an area that where they were trapped. He took them that way. God intended for them to be where they were at. Listen, how many of you here this morning want to know the will of God in your life? I think there's not one person in here that probably couldn't tell me that they don't know what they want to know the will of God in their life. Everybody's always searching for the will of God, are we not? There's not one person. I whenever I was called to preach. And maybe whenever, whatever you're called to do in your life, you're always time searching. And I'm going to be honest with you, I still search to this day. I'm still searching to this day. God, what is your will for my life? What is your will that you want for me in my life? Well, but what some of us fail to realize, and I got to thinking about this, and this is so true, is this: you are in the will of God right here this morning. Did you know that? You are in the will of God right here this morning. Now, I want to put an asterisk beside this, and I want you to understand this. If you're not sinning towards God, if you're not rebelling towards God, if you're a Christian, you're in the will of God being at this church service this morning, listening to this sermon this morning. Because whenever I prepare a sermon, whenever I say, Lord, you give me what you want for this church to have this morning. I have no idea who's going to be here. I don't call all of you and ask who's going to be here. So you are here this morning for this reason, for this sermon, for this purpose here this morning. And I want to come back to that here in a little bit. You see, God has either placed you here or allowed you to be in this service this morning. I know when Linda came in. Now, I thought about this when Linda came in. They could have just very well have stayed home. They lost their keys. They'd come up. You know, you have all kinds of excuses. But God intended them to be here this morning. He intended everybody that's here this morning to be here. You see, God has either placed you or allowed you. And if you're facing a Red Sea in your life right now, if you're up against that and you don't understand, God has either placed you in it or he has allowed you to be in it. And there is a reason for it. And may I say this morning, that reason may not always be known to you. You get what I'm saying? I look around this church, and I know I've looked around other churches that I've been in, and I've seen things that those people have been in, that's happened to some people in their lives. And you could look around and say, well, why did that happen? Listen, brother, I don't have the answers to why. I'm just telling you what I believe is that God has allowed you to be where you're at. He's allowed you to be in this Red Sea moment in your life for a reason. For a reason. You could be, it's only known to him. Christians, do not be surprised when trials come your way. Don't be surprised. And I say this quite a bit, and I preach on it. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. You know what he's trying to say? Greg, just because something happens to you doesn't mean that it doesn't happen to somebody else. Just because something, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's just because of you that it's happened. If you are in the will of God, if you are doing what God wants you to do, understand this morning, you are in the will of God and you are where he wants you to be. And what is happening to you is happening to you because there is a reason for it. Not because you may not be a bad person, not because you're some terrible sinner. It doesn't happen to be that way. It doesn't happen that way. It's because God has a plan and a purpose for it all. In the scripture that I say quite often, Jesus said this in John 16:33, in this world ye will have tribulation. Brothers and sisters, I deal with this with people that are not lost. Because they're constantly asking the question, well, why does this happen? Why did this happen? And you got to tell them, and you got to do it in a loving way. Listen, we live in a world, a sin-filled, cursed world. We live in that. Things are going to happen. There are going to be things happen. There's going to be family split up. There's going to be sickness come upon. There's going to be all this manner of stuff. There's going to be unexpected deaths. Because we live in a world that is just that turned her back on God many a long time ago when in the Garden of Eden, and God told them, listen, from that point on, this world is sin cursed. Brothers and sisters, this world is not our home. One of these days, praise his holy name, we're going home where nothing will ever touch us again. Praise his name. Until that point, brothers and sisters, just praise his name. And I'm going to get into this in a little bit here. There's a difference between praise and there's a difference between worship. And I'm going to let you know what I think it is here shortly. But listen, God has either put you there or allowed you to be there. God allows our faith to be tried, and it allows it to be tested. There's not one person in here that God did, that could be above that, because he will allow us to be tested and he will allow us to be tried. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Praise his name this morning. When we are tried, whenever we go through these troubles, whenever we're up against the Red Sea, when we're right up against it, and there's no humanly way possible out, praise his name. I'm telling you, God has allowed it to happen, and there is a reason for it. God means for you to be where you're at. Remember what I said earlier? It said that if you are not sinning towards God and if you are not in rebellion towards God, you are in the will of God this morning. So what is the opposite end of that spectrum? Sometimes we land in these difficult spots that we're in then because of what we do. Because of what we do, by being selfish, by being bullheaded, by doing dumb things. I could tell you, I've done a lot of dumb things in my life. I have. And Dave's had to pay for those dumb things. And I've got myself, Greg, up against the Red Sea doing things, stupid things. And I'm here to tell you, there's not a one of you in here that is above that. Because sometimes wisdom, because age don't give us wisdom sometimes. I'm just here to tell you, sometimes we land. This can happen with jobs that we take. This can happen with relationships that we get ourselves in. It can happen with how we raise our families. It can happen on where we go to church. It can happen. All these things can lay out there because we want it. We want it this way. And we don't want to listen to what God has for us to say. We don't want to do things on God's time. We do it our way. And then we pay the price for it because we do stupid stuff. All these things that have been done outside the will of God can lead to Red Sea moments in our lives. They can do that. And if you find yourself there, you know what you need to do. I'm just going to give you some advice. You need to repent and you need to get back on your knees and you need to get back to where God wants you to be. Amen? That's what that's the thing that you need to do. And it sounds simple, but sometimes for people's lives, it's not that simple for some people. It's not. They just don't look at it that way. But rule number one, if you are there, remember this. Just like he did with the children of Israel, he could have took them a different way, but he led them there. He put them there. Rule number two, Christians, this could be the hardest one. Whenever you're in your Red Sea moment, be more concerned for the glory of God than your relief. Can I say that again? Be more concerned for giving God the glory and for his glory than it is for your relief. When you're in a Red Sea moment in life, the three questions we normally ask, and these are all legitimate questions, right? We all have done this. How did I get into this mess? How quickly can I get out of this mess? And this is the most important one. Why did this happen to me? Have you ever been there? I'm raising my hand. Been there. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? And you know that these are all natural questions. They're all good questions that all of us can ask. But may I just throw this out there to you this morning? Are they the questions that you really should be asking? Maybe it'd be better to ask this, to say, God, how can you get glory from this Red Sea moment? God, how can I give you the glory that you so rightly deserve in what I am going through right now? I'm sure sometimes during the last 2 years, I know because I've said this, I hope this would end soon. Oh, I wish we'd get back to normal. Oh, this has been so inconvenient. But one time did any of us ask God, how he could get glory out of all this heartache and his headaches and all these masks and all these shots and all this. Did any one of us at one time ask God, how can you get glory out of all this? His hand is not short. He's still saving to the uttermost, is what my Bible tells me. That hasn't stopped. But one time, do we just ask God, how can we get glory out of this? Can you get glory out of all this? Out of all the lockdowns? Out of all the turmoil? God, can you get glory out of this situation? God, Jesus gives us examples in the Bible of this principle. Where he gives glory. Where there is glory given instead of relief. Jesus talking to the blind man from birth. Listen, the disciples asked this wrong question. They said, and the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? That he was born blind? And Jesus said that wasn't the right question. The right question, Jesus said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. If you're at a Red Sea moment, brothers and sisters, there may be some glory coming. And that glory is going to be given to God. Just like this blind man who got back his sight. How can he be glorified? And he said, remember the story of Lazarus? We went over a little bit of that this morning. And Mary and Martha sent for Jesus, needing a healing miracle. Needing a healing man, yes, Jesus could have just said the word, and Lazarus would have been healed right on the spot. We know that. We know that. But what did Jesus do? He tarried. That's what he said. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you're needing. I don't know if you need healing in your life. I know some's going on in here this morning, some I don't. But I'm here to tell you, just because Jesus was 4 days late with Lazarus doesn't mean that the miracle didn't come. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That what? That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. We all know the story of Lazarus. He's raised from the dead. And as the song says, I wrote it down, 4 days late, but still on time. Praise his name this morning. Listen to what I'm saying. Is he able to get glory out of your Red Sea moment? Was he able to get that glory that he so rightly deserves? But God, how can you be glorified no matter how long it's there? John 17:1. These words Jesus spake and lifted up his eyes toward heaven and said, Father, the hour come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may be glorify thee. Everything Jesus did was to glorify the Father. God may have placed you at that Red Sea moment, but praise his name. That doesn't mean that you can't give him glory through it all. He's the one that so rightly deserves that. Everything Jesus did. Christians, what's that mean to be Christ-like? Does it not? Does it not mean to be Christ-like? Shouldn't we be giving God the glory for everything? That's hard. I understand that. We've had loss in this church. We've had sickness in this church. We've got it going on right now. There's a lot of things that are hard that we can look at. But praise his name. God is still God. God is still on the throne. God still has everything into control. And when this is all said and done, this is just a drop in the bucket to where we're going to spend eternity one day. How does God take the impossible moments in our life and turn them into glory and honor toward him? If you look back at Exodus 14, first off, I'm going to tell you something. The enemy was defeated. It says there in 14:28, and the waters returned, and they covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as what? One of them. The enemy was defeated. I'm here to tell you, the enemy's defeated. I want you to understand. Satan is defeated. Amen. Amen. He is defeated. He knows he's a defeated foe. It doesn't mean that he's still not out trying to, as a roaring lion, trying to just seek and devour whomever he can. It doesn't mean that. But he is defeated, and he knows his time is short. I'm here this morning to tell you, brother and sister, the enemy is defeated. Understand that. His people are delivered. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land. They walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Now, can I tell you, what do we not understand about that? There was no mud. This said it was dry. And I believe they walked across on dry land. And I believe, brothers and sisters, children of God, listen to me this morning. We are more than conquerors this morning. We can give Him the praise. When our Red Sea moment is against us, we know that God has still put our hand in His hand. And brothers, and praise His name this morning. His people were delivered. And they were delivered. We know the story. The Egyptians and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Thirdly, God was exalted. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Praise His name. The people exalted God for the work that He did. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there are going to be some people that are going through Red Sea moments this morning that one of these days are going to be praising the Lord. Whether on this side of eternity or on the other side of eternity, they're going to be praising the Lord. Amen? Amen? And God was worshipped. If you go over to Exodus 15, how many of you know there's a difference between praise and worship? I know most of you in here know that. Psalms 156 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Did you ever understand that verse of Scripture right there? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's birds, that's animals, that's sinners. Did you know that? That's saved. Everything that has breath can praise the Lord. You say, well, how can a sinner praise the Lord? Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, I thank God for that happening? And they never went to church a day in their life. They're praising. True praise, I mean, that anything, everything should be able to praise the Lord. Everything can praise the Lord. You know what? It takes a true child of God to worship God, though. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's the difference. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for my house, for my job, for my family, for my health, for my car. I thank you for what you've done for me. But you know what worship does? Do you know what true worship, a Christian's true worship says? Lord, even if I don't have any of that, Lord, I'm still going to worship you. Amen. That's true worship. That is what true worship is. My favorite scripture, and I say this all the time, is back in Daniel. And it's about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And it says this, "And they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I divide that up into praise, and I divide that up into worship. That last part of that 18 is true worship, because they were saying, God, you know what? I know what's going on in my life right now. We know what's happening. But you know what? I believe you're able to deliver. But if you decide it's not time to do that now, praise your name. I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to go and let you guide and direct my life. The Red Sea moment. God delivers in His own way. Understand this. In His own time. And God delivers for His own glory. You may be up against the Red Sea right now. But listen to me. That's the thing God does. And number three. Acknowledge your enemy. But keep your eyes on the Lord. See, we get that backwards sometimes. You know what we do? We acknowledge the Lord, but then we keep our eyes on the enemy. Have you ever heard seen people come up here and they pray and they say that they're going to leave, you need to leave stuff up at the altar? Well, we do. But you know what we do sometimes? If we come up here and we pray, then we pick it right back up. We stick it right back on our back and we go right back out the door with it. That's not keeping your eye on the enemy. I mean, acknowledging your enemy and keeping your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Have you ever felt that you're being pursued by the enemy? I have.
I have. There's been times in my life I felt like the devil and his minions were right after me. There have been times I felt the enemy has come at me full bore. Actually, I have felt that. I have felt that he's come after me full bore. There are many other times, and many is just very subtle in what he does. More cunning, conniving in what he does. But make no mistake about it, child of God, listen to me. Just like the Christians of Israel, coming out of bondage, they thought that they would never have to worry about Pharaoh again. When lo and behold, guess who come nipping at their heels? Guess who did? Wanting to take them back into bondage. And we all know the story. There they were. Some of them wanted to go back into bondage. They fixed their eyes on the enemy. That's what they did. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Therefore, hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us out of Egypt? Is not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than what it should die in the wilderness. How many times do we do this sometimes? We get in a Red Sea moment and we look and say, well, this ain't the way it's supposed to be. I want somebody to show me in that Bible where God promised Christians a bed of roses. Jesus wouldn't have said, in this world you're going to have tribulations. He would have said, man, in this world you're going to have a bed of roses. Jesus didn't say that. Oh, I believe he can. Don't get me wrong. I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe God can come around us and protect us and do all these things. But there are times, brothers and sisters, whenever those darts are going to get through to us sometimes. They're going to get through. We can't see no way out, and we focus on everything else, but we take our eyes off of God, and we focus on everything else but God and his ability to take care of us during these moments. That's why I say rule number 3, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. It isn't what you're facing isn't real, but remember who you serve. I'm not going to downplay anything anybody's facing in here. There's no way I would do that. What you're facing is real. It's the enemy coming against you. I understand that. But brother and sister, if you keep your eyes fixed on that and not on the one where the help cometh, that's when it gets bad. The Egyptian army was real. It was real. It was coming after them. God had hardened his heart, and he was coming after them. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which ye will shew you today. The problem you and I face are real. We should acknowledge that they are real. But don't fix your eyes totally on the issue. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the one that's able to help. Fix your eyes. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking unto Jesus. That's what we're supposed to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. That's what we should do. Fix our eyes on him. We'll lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. How about you? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We are not to look to sports stars. We're not supposed to look to Hollywood. We're not supposed to look to any of these things. We're not. We are to look to God. We're to look to his son, Jesus. The government's not the one to help us. The government's not going to help us. We are to look to the Lord, and this is where true help comes from. Man walking. I remember this. Sometimes we get our eyes so fixed on a problem. I remember this story from years ago. It was about a man. He went out to take a walk. And when he went out to take a walk, he was walking, and he said he went down this area he'd never been before, but he was walking on the sidewalk. He said there was this big German shepherd. And he seen it in the front yard. And he said that German shepherd started barking, and then all at once that German shepherd started running right towards him. He said he froze. He was so concentrated on that dog that he just froze. He said all at once that dog hit a fence. A little chain link fence, come up against it. He said he had no idea that fence was there. He was so fixated on that problem, He said he was so fixed that he couldn't see that there was a barrier there. There was help there. That's the way we do sometimes. We get so fixated on what our problems are and what's going on, we cannot see that the true help is there, and that salvation is there, and that hope is there. Can you say the fear can cause us to focus on problems? Yes, it can. Psalms 34, 4 and 5, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were enlightened, and his faces were not ashamed. In Exodus, the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all the Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we fight when all we got to do is let the Lord do the fight. Those problems that we are facing right now, listen to me, they'll be like those Egyptians. The wheels will come off. The wheels can come off. But we've got to focus on the one who truly deserves the focus and get ourselves out of the way. I hope that helped this morning. I know it's Red Sea. Belinda, if you come and get a song, if you don't care, please. All of us can be facing those Red Sea moments in our life. All of us can be. But brothers and sisters, remember, God has put you there for a reason. Number two, are you giving God the glory coming through it? And number three, don't focus too much on the problem. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. We got a song. If you have a need this morning, please come.